Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our lesson today is to continue what we had with a previous lesson. When Ezekiel said, "I sat where they sat," that is, he tried to put himself in the place of those whom he was trying to teach, so that he could better understand them and lead them in the right direction. And we talked about several situations where we can sit where others sit. And just now I want to mention how that the young need to project themselves forward a few years as best they can to sit where those who are older sit. Now, of course, they can't do that really. But the disrespect that some young people have toward those who are older is reprehensible. And it certainly shows their immaturity, and it shows that they are not what they ought to be. They need to ask, how will it be when I grow older, when I'm a parent or grandparent? And how do the young want their children, how would they want their young to respond to them? What kind of treatment do they expect from their offspring? Now, it is admittedly more difficult for the young to project forward than for the older to remember backward. How do you expect a son or daughter to actually sit where dad and mother sit and view things like them? Why, they simply cannot. But the young have a great advantage. Time is on their side. They will learn with the passing of time and the coming of experience. But they need to be respectful of those who are older, as those who are older are trying to teach them and guide them and discipline them in the ways that they should go. They will learn that parents deserve this kind of respect. Parents deserve to be obeyed. And the young must try to respect the awesome responsibility that now rests upon their parents. They need to try to sit where the parents sit as best they can. Now, they must realize they are limited, because they are limited in knowledge, they are limited in experience, and they are going to give answer to God for how they contribute to the molding of their own lives, to be sure, but they are going to give answer to God as to how they treat those who are older, their parents, those who are teaching them. Well, what we're saying is that a proper measure of consideration of the other person's place is always in order. Husbands and wives need to appreciate the places that each one occupy. Their roles are different. In spite of the foolishness that some would say they are the same thing and would just combine and confuse the two, no, they are different. Their place in life is supposed to be different. And to exchange the seat a little bit back and forth, why, they might be better able to understand one another. No man can appreciate his wife completely. The wife cannot completely appreciate the husband. But they can try to put themselves in the other person's place and understand as best they can what the other person faces. This will make for a better understanding. It will make for a better home. It'll make for a better marriage. It'll make for less criticism and less fault-finding. If we could only see through the eyes of the other. That's what Ezekiel is saying when he said, "I sat where they sat." Husbands might be less critical. Wives might be less critical. Why, we need to try to think what it's like for the other person. That's the way that we can be truly helpful toward each other. And I want you to understand, friend, that in the church, this attitude must abide upon those who are elders and deacons and preachers and all the members. It would cut down on a lot of the abuse that sometimes is heard. Now, elders have the watch care for souls, and some make the work of elders so difficult. If some who so seldom cooperate with elders would only try to place themselves in the task that the elders have to watch for their souls, they might do a better job of making it easier for elders to serve in the capacity that they're supposed to serve. Elderships have to make a lot of decisions as stewards. Stewards over the funds. They listen to complaints. They have to maintain the truth. They have to convict the gainsayer. They answer calls for help of one kind or another. They have to weigh every matter, realizing that they're going to have to give an account to the chief shepherd some of these days. They have all of these things to do, as well as the normal duties of their own home and their own jobs. We need to look upon things that, as elders, have to see them, and try to make their burden and their task and their service as easy for them as possible. We need to sit where they sit. Consider your fellow Christian as they come to worship. You know, sometimes the stresses of life take their toll. Many brethren have various pressures upon them that others just simply don't understand. Pressures from their occupation, their finances, health concerns, the burdens of homemaking. Everyone is not aware of what it is to be of the heavy heart that one might have that's sitting next to them. And when the preacher may produce some kind of sermon, maybe it seems to be a rambling sermon, it's beneficial for even preachers to sometimes sit as if he was sitting in the pews, to get a better picture of what others have to hear and what others are trying to do in their own lives. But cannot preachers be given the proper consideration also? Now, I want to make a plea on behalf of preachers, and I have no apology for doing so. There are just many who do not respect preachers because they just don't respect the truth that preachers have to preach. Some people treat preachers like they're nothing but hired help, rather than brethren who are trying to preach the word and help them get to heaven. They don't have the appreciation for the labor and the strain that being a preacher demands of them. You know, the average sermon is about 5,000 words. The average preacher will preach from 90 to 100 times a year at home, many more counting his meetings and his radio lessons and his classes and such as that. The average length of a novel is about 50,000 words, and that simply means that the preacher must produce over 9 volumes every year, year after year, using the same basic theme, gleaning from the same source material from the Bible, and to the same people, but people who have different ages, various knowledge, different needs, different temperaments, people who are different in one service to the next. Little wonder that the strain of being a preacher sometimes gets to them, even to the point that he wonders about his own ability and his own worth. And it's not unheard of that some just break under it and they quit being trying to be a preacher. It would help so much if the rest of the brethren gave more consideration to the challenge that the preacher faces time after time. Now, I make no apology for pleading that way, because I know from experience of what it is, and I know that a lot of brethren don't consider that. They need to sit where the preacher has to sit. He usually does all of this under the most severe insecurity for his livelihood and even the welfare of his family. You know, just a few gripers can change his entire situation. Well, I trust that you're getting the lesson that I'm trying to put forth in this and the previous lesson. I sat where they sat. If each of us knew more and thought more about the road that others have to travel, we would possibly be more than what we ought to be toward other people. We would likely think less of self and more of others, and we would be better prepared to do the work that God has given us to do if we would just sit where the other person sits, whether young, whether old, regardless of the situation. We want to help people go to heaven. We want to understand where they are and what it will take for them to come to a saving situation and they'll be on their road to glory. We sometimes refer to the golden rule, don't we? We paraphrase that. It's from Matthew 7 and verse 12. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Well, we should learn to do that. And if we will sit where the other person sits, we might be better able to do that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, we read that we are to weep with those that weep. Well, we sympathize with people as best we can, realizing our limitations, but nonetheless we're trying to sit where the others sit. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We ought never be jealous of those who succeed, even succeed far beyond our ability. But we could rejoice with them. Sit where the other person sits. It will make us more willing to forgive to those who are penitent. It'll make us less demanding that everybody conform to our own peculiarities. We will learn to esteem the other better than self. It would cause us to avoid thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. This is a problem that it looks like so many of us in the human family have. Now, we should have a certain degree of self-respect and self-esteem. And a lot of people, the way they talk, the way they dress, where they go, what they do, they obviously don't have much respect for themselves, and they don't show respect for others and what they are doing. But we ought to try to be more what we ought to be and to think in the way that the Lord wants us to think. We need to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Now, don't you agree that God knew exactly what he was doing when he had Ezekiel spend some time sitting where the other fellow sat? Now, God gave Ezekiel a message. It wasn't left up to Ezekiel to decide what to preach. The Holy Spirit guided him in what he was to preach. To be faithful to God, he had to preach just exactly what God told him to preach. It wasn't his own message. And whether people would receive it, whether they would reject it, that didn't make any difference as to what he was to preach. He was to sit where they sat and try to help them to understand God's message. The message that Ezekiel was told to preach was, "Thus saith the Lord." And God wanted Ezekiel to do his work and to do it well. He knew that this would provide him a great measure of equipment that he would need if he would sit where the other person sat. It would help the man of God fulfill his responsibility. Years ago, it did that. It will still do the same thing today. Will we not try to sit where the others sit? Apply this same principle. Don't you think that we might be better able to guide people in the right direction that the Lord would have them to go? Now, in our next lesson, Lord willing, we're going to deal with a question that the Apostle Paul, somewhat along this same line, ask of those in Galatia. Paul had to correct those of the Galatian church of certain errors that they were practicing, and he asked the question, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You know, it's a sad thing when a person hears the truth and he doesn't love the truth enough to want to apply it to himself, and he becomes antagonistic and hateful toward the one who pointed it out to him. Sometimes people are corrected, they are rebuked, and they often just smart under that. They try to excuse themselves for their misdeeds, and the person that's trying to help them, they look upon them as being their enemy. They're not an enemy, they're a friend. Hope you'll be listening when we talk about, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" This will be our lesson next time. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.